we sang, Lord, you, because of what you've done, because of how you've emptied yourself out, this is why we have life. This is why we come to worship you. This is why we gather. Lord, we come to meet with you, and we come to hear your voice. Lord, this morning, open our ears, open our hearts so that we can hear you speak to us. Speak to us about having a thankful heart, Lord. Lord, we want to be touched by you. We want to be moved by you. We want to hear your voice. Pray that your Spirit would be actively working in us right now. Father, may we continue our praise and worship to honor you as we look at your word. As we look at you, Jesus, interacting with people, what message do you have for us this morning? What would you like us to do as we leave? How would you like us to be? What would you like us to become this week as a result of this message that we are to hear this morning? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as a whole, in general, we live in a very thankless age. What I mean by that is, historically speaking, and by societal standards, we have more than we've ever had. You know, if you think back to all the ages in the past, and you look around today in other countries and other societies, we have an incredible amount of wealth, and yet we give little thanks to the one people, our society, the United States, gives little thanks to the one from whom we draw life and whom is given all that we have. And so on the one hand, you know, we can listen at the touch of a button, at a scroll of our thumb, we can listen to Mozart, we can listen to Beethoven, we can listen to Bach. Scroll a little further down, we can listen to Nickelback. You know, we can go to Myers right now and pick up some raspberries, blueberries, and it's in the middle of February, which is so unlike the rest of the world or the rest of history if you think about it. We have so much, we don't even realize what we've got because we grew up in it, right? But on the other hand, we also have more people than ever who realize, like us, hey, that not only we have much, but there's also more to get, more to have, more to pick up. One pastor described this problem as the paradox of our age. So the paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet more problems, more medicine but less wellness. Has anyone ever heard this before? Anyone seen this? Yeah, someone seen this? Yeah. It's true, isn't it? Something that rings true about this paradox that we have. And so the story we are looking at today encourages us to remember to give thanks to the one who has given us far more than just the material blessings we have. Because we know that stuff is just going to fade away, right? But to give thanks to the one who's given us far more than material blessing, he's given us truly, truly a new life. If we take a moment to examine our lives before and our lives after. Thanksgiving is one of the true essence of a Christian living and a Christian attitude. When you look at Christians, think of your mind of someone who you know, whom is joyful and is filled with the Spirit of God, and they will be a thankful person. All right? It is at the very heart of life that Thanksgiving is at the very heart of life in a life made new by Jesus Christ. This is what our story is about today. Let's take a look at our story this morning. We are continuing on in in Luke, and Jesus is getting closer and closer. We've seen the very first portion of our scripture that Jesus is getting closer to Jerusalem. All right, he's weaving his way to Jerusalem as the Lord Father wills. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So what we have here is a snapshot, a small picture, if you will, of what genuine thankfulness, like a real thankfulness, looks like in the one that returned after being healed. And also we have a snapshot or a small picture of, I guess, a lack of thankfulness or a lack of gratitude, an absence of thankfulness. And so what I'd like to do, I want to end at least on a positive note. So what I'll start out with is taking a look at the 9. Let's take a look at the 9. All right? And Jesus asks a couple of very penetrating and poignant questions. Were not all 10 cleansed? And where are the other 9? And so it's this. If thankfulness is the essence of Christian living and a Christian attitude, and being unthankful towards God is the essence of a heart which has not been renewed, which has not been touched by Him. Okay? And this is why, in part, we need to be aware if we are living our lives without a sense of true, like, "Man, God, what have you done in my life?" True thankfulness. Okay. Apostle Paul identifies this attitude of just no gratitude, just not really caring. He identifies this group of people who are unthankful with some very direct words. He says, "As for although they knew God, although they had knowledge of Him," and that meaning knew Him, meaning, you know, in the context we're talking about through creation, you know. I mean, even though there's unbelievers out there, even though there's people who maybe have not heard the gospel per se written out to them, through creation and through experience, through their conscience of knowing right and wrong, through God in them, speaking to them, ministering to them through His Spirit, they know God. People know Him. But they neither glorified Him as God, nor did they give thanks to Him. You know, and I could say, you know, obviously there are unbelievers out there. There are those who are not Christians who say, "Hey, you know, thank God it's Friday, woohoo!" You know, or have kind of a traditional, maybe a cultural background of giving thanks before a meal. But I'm not talking about "thank God it's Friday," or I'm not talking about a quick, "Hey, God, thanks for the food. You know, go ahead and eat," based on your family tradition or culture. I am talking about a genuine, heartfelt, "You've altered my life. You have changed me from the inside out, God. Thank you." All right? But if you look at our lives, you know, if you look at Christians around you, and if I even look at myself sometimes, many times, it is also true that Christians can be unthankful, can't they? Not only is it that those who knew God, or even though they're unbelievers, now they glorify Him, or gave thanks, it is also Christians that have a problem sometimes of being thankful. And for an unbeliever to be unthankful to God is normal in some sense. You know, you'd expect this. But for a Christian to be unthankful is actually abnormal. It should be against what is in our nature, the spirit that is within us. This goes everything, being unthankful for you, for us, goes everything that we are about. Our whole new nature that God has given us, the whole new person, the whole new you, unthankfulness is totally against what we are about. It is totally against the spirit that lives within us. And so because we fall into this sin of ingratitude sometimes, the New Testament repeatedly calls us to thankfulness. All right? So even though it is against the spirit that lives within us, it is true that, you know, all of us know that we still fall into sometimes of the sin of ingratitude. And this is why Paul and, you know, John and James talk about, you know, being thankful. And we don't have time to go through all the scriptures about being thankful, but you can think of some that have throughout the New Testament about being thankful. But I do want to share with you one scripture that gives us reason as Christians to be continually thankful. All right? So that we live continually thankful lives and respond not like the nine, but that we respond like the one who came back and said, I can't believe it. You know? Didn't even say, like, thank you. It was just worship, right? So here's the verse that sets it in place for us. Here's the one that I want to touch on. The principle that leads us to have, at least to frame our lives in a life of thankfulness. It's Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called. When we look at this principle found in this passage, in this verse, there's really an overarching umbrella that covers every issue of life, you know? Anything that happens to us, any trial, any tough time that happens to us, we can say, look, we know according to God's Word, according to Scripture, that everything that God does, whether at least in an appearance looks bad or feels bad, or God has allowed to happen, God is using this in our lives for His good purposes, to work His good purposes into our life. And if you believe, if you live believing God is at work and is sovereignly orchestrating the circumstances around us, ultimately designed for your good and His glory, then you can handle anything in life. Can't you? I mean, truly, if you think about God is sovereign and He is orchestrating even the things where I feel like, man, I don't see you, God. I don't know where you are. This is painful. But ultimately, I trust and believe in Romans 8:28 that He is working it for your good purposes. Man, what can't we handle? What hope can we not we have? How can we not live thankful lives? Because we know that there is something coming that because of this, He is working it for good. I mean, it's weird. You can be thankful sometimes for the painful studying that you guys have. You know, even the stuff that you think, I don't know how God could ever possibly use this in my life. You know? How in the world does, you know, doing proofs, could ever this God use this in my life? Or all the studying that you do, like, this is so senseless, so worthless, you know? But God uses things that you may not think about. Yet, like, I've got to say, I've never actually used a proof of the glory of God in geometry or anything like that. But I'm telling you, God is doing something, even this hard studying that you are doing now. Stuff that you are like, ah, this is so daunting. God is using it in your life for His purposes. so you can take hope in the middle of your midterms or studying. God has something for you. You can be thankful in trials. Maybe you are in a trial right now. We just went through the book. We're going through the book of James, and we talked about this. Maybe you're going through a trial or a difficult time in your life. And if you know that the outcome of those trials and tough times will make you more mature in Him, then you can be thankful. You know, we ask that question, how can you be joyful in a trial? And for Pete's sake. But this is why. This is why. This is why we can be joyful. This is why we can give thanks in all circumstances. Because we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. I can be thankful for the sometimes daunting task of, you know, sometimes I tell Sarah, sometimes when I'm writing sermons, you know, when I'm in the study, sometimes in preparing messages, I mean, it comes like God just puts it on my heart and it just like flows out of my fingers. You know, it is great. I love it. And then there's times I joke around with Sarah that sometimes writing a message, reading God's word and preparing a message for you guys is like giving birth to a baby. You know, I don't know what that's like, but I'm like, I tell Sarah, it's like, it just is not coming. I just cannot get this message out. It's just not coming. Lord, where are you right now? You know? But in preparing a message where it is, you know, sometimes frustrating or difficult, if I know that the outcome of the preparation will change your lives or move you in such a way to bring glory or bring thanks to Him, then I can give thanks. But the question you might be asking is, you know, okay, Brady, like I know I'm supposed to give thanks. You know, I know I see the one leper coming back and like throwing himself down and to give thanks. So what am I supposed to do with this sermon? You know, like when I leave this room, am I supposed to leave with giddiness of thankfulness? You know, when I walk out this door. Do I somehow have to, are we supposed to somehow drum up thankfulness in our lives? Somehow like, I will be thankful. You know, it's not like that, right? It's not like that. We don't. This is another passage. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. So what it is that we have to abide in Him. If you stay in a relationship with Him, then God will work that thankfulness in your hearts. As He grows and matures you, as you walk with Him, He will grow that in you. Okay? So it's not like you have to walk out of here and, you know, whatever your response might be is great. But it's not like we have to somehow drum up thankfulness in our lives. He is working His in you to will and act according to His good purpose. Okay? So here's what I mean. Most of you guys probably don't know this guy. His name is Kirk Franklin. He's a gospel singer. Fairly popular in the 90s. And still now, I think he just came out with a project. So it's just not our scene. But actually, I don't watch Oprah a lot. I'll just let you know. I don't watch Oprah. But I did catch him on Oprah one time. All right? And it's weird. You know, it's weird. Whenever I see a believer, you know, in an interview, whether it be, you know, on CNN or 2020 or Nightline or whatever, it just catches my eye. I'm just like, what's this guy got to say, you know? And he was on Oprah telling about the thankfulness that he had. You know, just an unbelievable, like, it just poured out of this guy. And the reason why he was on with his wife, Kirk Franklin, as a believer, he struggled with pornography. And he would tell Oprah, you know, he's like, it was so bad. Like, I had DVDs of pornography in my home, and I hated it so much that I would actually go and I would take him, I'd walk down the street, you know, I think he lived in an urban setting, and I'd throw them in the dumpster, right? And I'd go back up into my apartment or my condo, my townhouse, whatever, and I would sit there, and then there'd be times, he said, when I would actually go back down to the dumpster and get them out again. He said that's how hooked he was on pornography. That's how trapped he felt. But he said, but after I confessed, after I started getting help through God's people, through prayer, through meeting with the Lord again, and it's weird because, you know, he's singing gospel music. So he's kind of living, he was living at some time a double life. But he said, after I gave it over to the Lord, and after I got help, got counseling, and prayed, and released it to the Lord, he said, my life was flipped around. He said, my relationship with my wife was changed. I had to confess it to my wife. And his life was just flipped. You know, and Oprah kind of looked at him like, so you're saying you never struggle with pornography anymore? He said, no, in my case, he said, I've been totally freed. He said, I have been totally freed. And she kind of looked at him like, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. But he is similar to the leper, you know. Either he's a believer. The leper went to Christ, called out to him, and man, when Jesus Christ said, you know, go and show yourselves to the priest, you are cleansed, they were totally made well. They were totally made well. And the one leper came back and was like, I cannot believe what has happened in my life. I cannot believe that I was once yesterday a leper and today I am cleansed. I am free. And not only am I cleansed and free, now I can get back into the community of Israel. You know, lepers, of course, being outside of the community. And this is the way Kirk Franklin was. And this is the way that we were. Maybe we don't have a dramatic story, but maybe you do, of being freed in some way, of being totally set free, where you are like, you know, I guess it would be like what I see, on Facebook, OMG. I cannot believe that I am totally set free. I cannot believe where I once was, and now I can love my wife. And now I can be back in the community of God. And now I can walk freely without the guilt. I'm set free. This is how the leper was. This is how Kirk Franklin was. And this is, you can see the thankfulness that just spewed out of them. It just overflowed because they realized what had happened in their lives. Is there something like that in your life? Right? Do you remember something like that for you? Where you come back and you're like, you want to, like the leper did, fall at his feet, and you're just like, man, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget where I once was and where I am today. Now, we may look at our life and say, you know, look, let's just be real here. I would like to say that I walk around with thankfulness all the time. I would like to say that I remember where I once came and where I am now, what Christ did on the cross for me, how He healed me. But I don't always do that. You know, I don't. I don't always do that, and neither do you. Well, that's because we still have that thing called sin in our lives, right? There's still some things that hinder us from that thankfulness, you know, that stand in the way. Paul tells us we need to throw off these things. We need to get rid of these things. We need to, like, just basically tear them off and put them aside. And so, what I want to share with you is just a few things that may corrupt, that may get in the way, just so that you can be aware of what gets in the way of you having a thankful heart, of you living a thankful life, okay? The first one's pretty obvious. First one is pretty obvious. It is really simple, actually. It is selfishness, all right? Selfishness, when we begin to focus on ourselves, you know, even for a moment's time, that's when we lose sight of being thankful. That's when we forget to be thankful, isn't it? It's the attitude that says, look, I don't want it the way it is. I want it the way I want it, right? And many of us get frustrated with our lives. We see a circumstance around us and we're like, I want it this way, God. This is what I had planned. This is what I had hoped for. I'm not content with the way God is working out my life right now. And this is when you lose sight of being thankful. I'm not content with the circumstances which I find myself presently. I'm not content with the things that are going on in my world. This is selfishness. Selfishness basically says, God, I want you to get out of the center, and I want to put me in the middle of it. I want to be in charge, and I want to run my life, okay? Man, going to Grace Centers of Hope really reminds me to be thankful. You know, because when you start serving people, you know, and what we did was really simple. It wasn't like, it was meaningful, but it was really simple. But I like going to Grace Centers of Hope because, one, you know, when the tour guide was telling us about how the food, we went downstairs, and many of you, even if you didn't go last week, have been to Grace Centers of Hope, you see the shelves of like soup and stuff like that, just piled on there. And she said, you know, right now the shelves are just stocked full because over Christmas time, we just get tons of donated food. You come back here in June and July, and the stuff is, there's like just a few cans on the shelves. She said, so, you know, when you have a food drive, have it in like the summer, because that's when we need it. That's when things get really skimpy around here. But it reminds me to go, wow, like they have actually lived day by day, week by week, month by month for food. You know, and that's when I'm like, I need to be thankful. When I was there, you know, we had this plate, and I'm like, I just want to make sure that I... She's like, what we do is we try not to waste anything. Any cans of soup, the oldest soup we have in the front, so we don't waste anything. And I'm like, gosh, I'm really thankful that I just have, just, you know... My parents always, you know, your parents always tell you, be thankful that you have food, you know? And I'm always like, yeah, you know, these veggies stink, you know? But it really caused me to be thankful because it moved me outside of myself, and I looked at what was happening at Grace Centers of Hope. Or when we begin to serve, it moves us outside of ourselves, and we begin to have a thankful attitude, a thankful heart. Selfishness is one. Worldliness is another hindrance towards a thankful heart. This is the love of the world. You know, this is someone whose vision is filled with kind of the temporal things of life. Pleasure, prominence, popularity, prestige, possessions, pursuits, you know. Any other P's you guys can think of? These are the things that, you know, that that our vision might be filled with that removes or is a hindrance towards thankfulness. This is what happened with the Israelites, okay? Israelites were like, hey, I see that these countries over here have kings, and we want a king. Why is it that they have things better than us? They begin to look around, not focusing on God, but everything else that everyone else had. And we do this too sometimes, don't we? We look around and say, hey, the wicked, those who don't have the Lord, seem to have it better than us somehow. Why is it that they always seem to be prosperous? They don't have God, and yet they're having great lives. I want a life like that. So you know what God did? He said, okay, you want what they have? I'll give you what they have. And I'll remove my blessing, and you'll see what life is like without me. Okay? So that's what he said, okay, you got it. You can have what the world has. We'll see. We'll go on a trial basis, see what it's like for you. And so it reminds me every time when I begin to think about, oh, it'd be so nice, you know, hey, it'd be so nice if we didn't have to go to church. It'd be so nice if I could spend money the way I want to spend money. It'd be so nice if I could buy the things I want to buy, do the things I want to do, have my time the way I want to spend my time. But I remember when I think back and I think of Israel, and they're like, yeah, you wanted it this way. God removed their blessing, and they were miserable. Right? Looking at the rest of the world, your friends and everyone else who don't know the Lord, and like saying, hey, they've got a great life, it takes away, it's a hindrance to our thankfulness. The last one is a critical spirit. Okay? Here again is something that just a critical spirit, and everyone has this from time to time, steals thankfulness, doesn't it? It just kills thankfulness when you're critical. When you look at every single thing, when you look at maybe your your parents, or maybe if you're married, your spouse, and you say, I wish I had this in my spouse, or I wish I had this in my family, or I wish I had this in my church, or this in my youth group, or I wish I had these things, this class, and not that, this grade, that grade. You know, it steals. When you can get critical, it steals any kind of thankfulness that you have. You become a bitter and negative and thankless person. Rather, what we're desiring to do, what we're desiring is for God to work in us a person like the one leper who returned. The one who recalled and remembered, you know, all ten of them were healed, but there was only one. There was only one that said, wait a second, who is the one who healed me? There's only one that went back. Where were the other nine? So again, we're not to have, like, it's not that we need to leave here and say, you know, I just need to be giddy and thankful when I leave. It's just that we need to allow God to work in us. Get close to Him. Abide in Him. And He will work that thankfulness into your heart, right? He will work that thankfulness into your heart. Remember back, if you can, remember back this week of what God has done in your life. How has He freed you? How has He set you free? How has He healed you? How has He provided for you? Do an experiment for 1 week. For every day, remember one thing to be thankful. Thank Him for one thing. And see if at the end of the week you are not more thankful. Okay. Well, let's close in prayer and then we can respond in song. Father God, we confess it's so easy for us to forget You. We take You for granted so often. We don't remember back to the days of when we didn't know You, or maybe we just don't know like what it's like not to know You. But God, we see the one leper who just threw himself at Your feet. Because he was just so ecstatic of the new life that he had. He was just so thrilled of being cleansed and being healed and having a new slate, a new beginning. And maybe some of us need a new beginning starting today, starting tomorrow. And we can have that. Maybe some of us have been bogged down by sin. But we know that we can go to You. We know that Your grace is enough. What You've done on the cross is enough that we can ask for Your forgiveness and we have a new start. Lord, let our lives, let the people around us know that we are thankful people because of what You've done in our lives. Let us have this joy that comes with knowing You, that can only come in knowing You. The joy of a forgiven life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.